The bliss of the abyss, it's here now.
Welcome back to The Bliss of the Abyss. I'm your host, Robert Newmark Jones, with the most Newmark Jones in the host of the boast. Hello. Toast? Yes, thank you very much. Welcome back. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. It's the show today to end all shows. That's right. The very final 5 minutes of this show will be explosive. Or am I lying? How are you? Honestly, today, how are you doing? You all right? How's the thing? Have you got the thing checked out? You should really talk to someone about that thing, make sure it's okay. I don't want it to be a problem, right? And did you remember to call them back? Because, you know, if not, it's been a while. So just check in, make sure everything's good, make sure it's okay. That's my main advice. You can generalize from that quite easily, quite solidly. And that's the point, isn't it? Yes. What am I talking about? I don't know. I'm just saying hi, welcome back to the show, because it's been a couple of weeks. You may have noticed that's sort of how I release these now. In terms of how busy things are, it makes more sense to do this bi-weekly. Apart from anything else, I don't know if you want to hear from me any more often than that, do you? Gosh, I'm sure you're very busy, aren't you? You can fit in a podcast here or there, but let's not go crazy. It's not going to be my entire thing, is it? It's just going to be part of the thing. Where have I been? You know what the best part of my recent life was? This audition to be... well, I'm not sure if I'm really allowed to talk about it, but it's a drama about Prince Andrew and his press secretary at the time, which a guy called Jason Stein, Prince Andrew, who quit when Andrew did the Emily Maitlis interview only a few weeks into his job. And apparently he's a master of the dark arts. Do you think I could be a master of the dark arts? Who's fired by Prince Andrew? Hopefully. Prince Andrew. It's wild, that whole story. I can't sweat. I'm not able to sweat. Yeah, that's been an exciting part of my life. It's been so hot, hasn't it? It's pretty good coming back. So in the UK, it's been boiling hot, which is a really nice comeback from Indonesia. Still kind of floating on that, although there was a New York in between. But it's sort of easing us into to autumn. How long have we got now? Let's see. It's the what of September? Midway. We're midway. Come on. 14th. Come on. Midway. 30 days have September, April, June. Okay, midway minus one. And I believe September, the 23rd, come on, Robert, is the final day of summer or the beginning of autumn or fall for my American listeners. We call it autumn from the old French autumn, meaning autumn. On September the 23rd, 2023, the September equinox will occur at 6:50 UTC, also known as GMT, when the sun appears to leave the northern hemisphere and cross the celestial equator. Doesn't that sound nice, eh? The equinox marks the end of astronomical winter and the start of astronomical spring in the southern hemisphere, and in the northern hemisphere, the first day of fall, or autumn for my British listeners, and the end of summer. So we've still got 9 days of summer left. What do you plan on doing with them? What are you going to do with your 9 days? After the boys of summer have got 9 days of summer, you're going to squeeze every last drop out of it? Or are you going to just ease into autumn? Just sort of start to wind down the summer and transform it into a bit of autumn. You know, I think that's probably the best thing to do. But I don't know. What's this? Luke, Luke, what have you sent me? What have you sent me? I'm looking forward to autumn, actually. The beginning of autumn is wicked. Controversial opinion. The beginning of autumn is wicked. What's he sent me? YouTube, Luke. I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, no one likes winter, right? Apart from those people who are like, I love it. I'm a snow bunny. I'm a snow bunny. What's he sent me? Extreme measures. Trevor Eve. Oh, right.
Dear, that's... Really? Dear, that's... Oh, dear, that's... Really? It's,
Extreme measures.
Is that tough love or just Trevor Eve. Animal cruelty? Mm.
This is from the
extreme
trip.
Extreme measures.
If you haven't seen The Trip, it's an absolutely amazing show that they probably... probably made too many episodes of, but the classic ones, the ones that are really great. It's really funny. I don't know what this is. This is some
with
kind
Trevor
of
Eve.
Combination.
Extreme measures with Trevor, a serious voiceover. Extreme measures with Trevor, extreme measures with Trevor Eve.
Extreme measures with Trevor Eve. Trevor is tricky there. Trevor Eve.
Friday at 9, BBC Two.
Friday at 9, BBC Two. I think I could do this.
What, BBC what, sorry? BBC, I wouldn't do that live, obviously. I wouldn't go, BBC what?
That never happens on
Extreme trailer. Measures. I've not done it for a while, so tell me. Extreme measures. Extreme measures.
Yeah, you're pushing it too much. Just relax into it.
Okay.
Extreme, yeah. That's good advice.
Extreme measures with Trevor Eve.
So what is it? Extreme measures. With Trevor Eve. BBC Two, was it, or?
Extreme Measures. No. Extreme Measures with Trevor Eve. Friday at 9, BBC One.
Can I give you a reading?
Yes,
Friday at 9. BBC
Extreme
One.
Extreme Measures with Trevor Eve.
No.
Friday at 9 on BBC One. Could I have light and shade?
Oh, no, yeah, you did it very well. You did it very well.
Yeah. It's not bad.
That was good.
If it was ITV.
That was good. He looks depressed about it as well. Yeah, that was good. I like that. I like that. It's the craft. Should we record one for Luke? Okay. Extreme measures with Trevor Eve. Friday at 9, BBC One. I think that's all right. I think I can do better than that. Extreme measures. Because the temptation, right, from a reading point of view, is to go the way Coogan did. Rahul sent me a message. Go the way that Steve Coogan did there, which is like leaning into the fact that it's extreme measures. You know, it's not like Gardener's World with Trevor Eve, Friday at 9, BBC One, right? That's like, it's easy to do sort of like, hey, it's Gardener's World, enjoy it, right? Tune in, all that kind of energy. But when it's called extreme measures, that's when the temptation is to lean into the extreme measures. Like that. But actually, it's probably a bit much, isn't it? Like, listen to it there. It's too much. So, you got to... But I think Rob's was actually a bit off with the light and shade. I think he went too high. I think... Extreme measures. Anyway, this is a ridiculous rabbit hole.
If it was ITV, Extreme Measures with Trevor Eve, Friday at 9 on ITV One. Oh, it'll be...
Friday at 9. I can't really do that accent. It turns Scottish for me. And suddenly I'm speaking Scottish if I try that accent. Let's hear the Newcastle, for my American listeners, the Newcastle accent is so amazing.
It's good.
But if it was ITV.
I'm very rusty.
If it was ITV, Extreme Measures with Trevor Eve.
Extreme Measures? Like, I wish I could do it. Yeah. That's the Geordie accent. But they're from Newcastle. And it's called Geordie. I wonder why it's called Geordie.
Oh, I see.
I feel like I've learned that before.
Measures, Trevor Eve. Yeah.
Hi, I'm DJ Extreme, and tonight I'm going to be measuring Trevor Eve. Right. Trevor comes in.
Yeah, anyway, that's quite good. That's quite funny, isn't it? Extreme Measures with Trevor Eve. Friday at 9, BBC One. Luke is messaging back. Ooh. Okay. Anyway, what was I going to say? I was going to say... Sorry. Absolutely lost my train of thought there because I just got a message from Luke. 1:17. Should we listen? Is it going to be absolute nonsense? Let's hear.
Extreme measures.
No, I knew it. See? Extreme. Go on, Luke. You can do it.
My sinuses aren't great.
Oh, come on, mate. Don't.
Extreme measures. Oh, mate. I'm going to. Oh, come on. Come on. Extreme measures.
He's taking it too. He's taking it too far.
Existential out of nowhere.
Yeah. See, I told you. It's the temptation. It's the temptation to do it. For sure.
This one.
Come on.
Extreme measures with Trevor Reeve. Yep. Friday at 9. BBC One.
Simple. That's it. Go on.
Oh, fuck me gently.
Go on.
Extreme measures. No.
You dick. You kept us waiting for so
Extreme
long.
Extreme measures with Trevor Reeve. Friday at 9 on BBC One.
Talk about a prima donna. It took you 1:17 of existential angst to record Extreme Measures. Mate, get it together. I need Extreme Measures like that delivered hot and fast. Come on, give me a 20-second clip like this. There we go. Master of the voice note. See, the thing with the voice note is no one likes receiving them. There's never a good time to listen to them unless you happen to be recording a podcast. It's quite useful in this instance. In every other instance, though, absolute nonsense. Now, what do they talk about next in extreme measures?
Okay, I get the picture. Extreme measures with Trevor Reeve.
Okay, but we've done extreme measures. So the famous one is she was only 16 years old. She was only 16, which is like the famous one. Or the gentleman to bed. We rise at 9:30. Why do they rise at daybreak? How do they never rise at 9:30? All of that stuff. So I highly recommend The Trip, especially season one.
Hey, some of us don't want to half-ass the opportunity to showcase Trevor fucking Eve. You want it in one? Here's it in one. Extreme Measures with Trevor Eve, Friday at 9 on BBC One. Boom. Suck that. Take that right down to the balls. Boom.
Someone's confident, eh? Someone's feeling frisky, aren't they? Extreme Measures with Trevor Reeve. Friday at 9, BBC One. You cunt. apologies for the language. Jesus Christ, eh? It just slipped out of me. I can't help myself. I've been sent Indy's page in Malaysian. Do any of my listeners live in Malaysia? I've never had contact with a Malaysian listener. But if you live in Malaysia and you want an expert maths and science tuition course, then this is the man to contact. Indra Neelan, here he is. You can find him. Look at that hair. Glorious mane, which is no more. He's fucking bald as a coot now. I mean, he shaves it down to the dome, but he's sticking with this as the headshot. Look at me, I'm fresh and young. And he's only 409 RM, which is the currency in Malaysia. I think it's ringgit, isn't it? I have been to Malaysia a few times, and I've worked there in the past, actually. I can tell you the story about that. It is the ringgit, the Malaysian ringgit. So get your ringgit out, and Indy will teach you maths and science, mate. That's got you covered. I don't know. Oh, he sent me this. Yeah. He sent me this because he wanted to check something on it. And actually, the bundle is the problem. And I think it's still there. Yeah, his pack crates. Yeah, it's not good. It doesn't work. So when I was 20, I guess 6 or 5, I went to Malaysia where I worked doing tuition. This is a side hustle that Indy and I share. We both do tuition for cash, man. Word of mouth. If you need anything done, come to me. All that kind of bollocks. But this family flew me out to Kuala Lumpur, where I taught their two boys English, maths, nonverbal reasoning, and, you know, fun stuff as well, right? Because that's why they flew me out, yeah? Because that's the best. That's the best you get. just kidding. But it was enjoyable. They were good kids, and we had fun. But it was weird because I was there for 6 weeks in KL in the summer. Yeah, so you know what kind of social life do you have? Now I'm happy by myself. I'm one of those guys. I'm like I can just chill, just me. That's fine. That works. But after a while, I actually going a bit stir crazy, and I went a bit stir crazy. They put me up in this hotel. So my life for the first little while was just, I'm in my hotel room, and the hotel's nice. It's got a pool, it's got a gym, it's got a sauna. So like, yeah, great. I'm using that. And then I'm going to their house. They've got a driver. They drive me to their house, and then I teach them there. And then the driver takes me back, and then I go back to the hotel, and that's my whole life. And I did that for a little while, but then it became too much. So I tried to find other things to do, and with varying degrees of success. But we'll come back to that because Luke has responded. What did I say to him?
Someone's feeling frisky, aren't they? Extreme Measures with Trevor Reeve. Friday at 9, BBC One, you cunt!
Extreme Measures with Trevor Eve. Friday at 9 on BBC One.
These just aren't any measures with Trevor Eve. These are extreme measures with Trevor Eve.
Triple X measures with Trevor Eve. And I think you know exactly what he's measuring. I think I did a wink, but I'm not sure how successful a wink is on audio. Let's hear. My mouth is very
dry. Triple X measures with Trevor Eve. And I think you know exactly what he's measuring.
I think the click does work. Yeah. Okay, good work. Extreme measures. I'm sidetracked. So I'm in Malaysia and I'm living that life, and it's absolutely like driving me insane. Because I don't know, it was like so insular. It felt like I was a robot. It was just like, I have my hotel room, I go to gym, I swim in pool, I go to sauna, I go to house, I teach client. I come back to hotel, I go to gym, I go to sauna, I go to pool, I go back to hotel, I go to teach, I come back to hotel. It's like, it's, you know, it drives you mad. Hopefully what I just did drove you mad. I know it drove me mad, and I had to live that life. So I needed to find a way out, and I didn't know how to do it. You know, obviously you can go down to Malaysia, I mean, Kuala Lumpur rather, has like everything. It's a huge city. It's brilliant. You know, you go to the Petronas Towers and you go up and you look out and it's wicked. And then you go to, oh, there's zoo. The zoo there is so good. I mean, I know some people don't like zoos, but I kind of think they're cool. I know they've done a lot of preservation as well. They obviously can be absolutely awful. I'm not saying that they're not sometimes just depressing. And if there's maltreatment, obviously, I mean, this kind of goes without saying, but it doesn't in the same way. So, yeah, obviously that is terrible. But really good ones, I think, actually are a net positive to the world. And I'll fight you on that one. Come on. Hey. So I did go to the zoo. I had a great time. There's a picture of me with a parrot on my shoulder. And if you think that's bad, wait till you hear what's next. after this message from Luke.
Triple extreme measures. The cross franchise between Trevor Eve, Tommy Wiseau, and Ice Cube, because Vin Diesel was unavailable.
Ice Cube, Ice Tray, Vanilla Ice, Triple Extreme Ice Measurers. Who's Ice Tray? Is that a real person or did I just make up a rapper? Ice Tray rapper. I mean, obviously we all know Ice Cube. Can someone get away with Ice Tray being like, yo, I'm Ice Tray, get in my tray. You're just a cube. Ice Tray is a song by Quavo and Lil Yachty. Should we listen to it? I mean, it's going to get this thing struck if I play any of this audio. I bet it's got sort of like a trillion views. I've never heard of it, I have to be honest. But first there'll be an ad, so that's good. So this was only 5 years ago. It's already got 60 million views. That's kind of what I get for my downloads, so that's not that much. But it's got ads. Oh, no, it doesn't. It's playing. What? Okay. This is the most replayed part. Presumably it's going to drop. That's what's going to happen, right? Ice Tray. Yeah. Quavo, is it Quavo or Quavo?
Ice Tray on nigga flooded.
Yeah, okay, there we go. Okay, got it. I suppose it would be too ballsy after, because Vanilla, not Vanilla Ice, Ice Cube was such an established rapper that then to be like, it would have to be before Ice Cube that you were already going by Ice Tray, because otherwise you're stepping to like one of the biggest players in the game. It's not going to work out for you unless you've got some serious connections. I mean, how long has Ice Cube been doing it? Since 1969? Well, no, that's when he was born. The 88 album is straight out of Compton. So imagine coming on the scene now being like, yo, I'm Ice Tray, get in. And he's the cousin of Del the Funky Homo Sapien. No way. By the way, if you haven't heard of Del the Funky Homo Sapien, he does some seriously good hip hop. And Deltron, it does Deltron as well. Deltron 3030. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. Worth a listen. What was I talking about anyway? Before we got sidetracked by all the ices that we were measuring. I know. Malaysia. Sorry for the pause. So the zoo, the parrot on the shoulder. And then I was like, you know what? I'm in Malaysia. There's got to be other people like working here at the same time as me, right? That's got to be a thing. So I found an expat group. Now, expat groups have a certain reputation, and I have to say, this kind of lived up to it. There was a meetup in a bar in downtown KL for expats. If you don't know what expatriates are people from another country who are working in this country, the country not of their origin. And it's a weird bunch. It just is. I haven't really heard stories to the contrary. I remember there was some kind of prize draw as well, and I won like a boat trip, which I never was able to take for reasons that will become clear when this story finishes. I remember a girl with dreadlocks. And I remember this very handsome, chiseled Chinese guy. And the interesting thing about Malaysia is, or at least KL, is definitely this. It's a real blend of Indian influence, Malay influence, Chinese influence, and others, obviously. But they kind of not quite as harmonious as Singapore, which also has those. So Singapore kind of is more harmonious with this, but KL does manage to sort of fuse all these amazing different cultures and tastes and flavors and styles of life together in this one place. So it's really amazing for that. You meet lots of cool people from all around the world, which is always, I don't know, one of the best experiences you can have, if you ask me. So I did, I don't remember much of the meeting. I do remember thinking, this group is not for me. You know, it's ain't my tribe, even though I did win this boat trip, which I never took. Because my next thought, after I'd done all the stuff in KL, I'd tried the expats. I was like, well, you know what? I'm in Malaysia here for 6 weeks, and Malaysia is a big country, and it's got loads of amazing things to see and do, right? So I went to see the orangutans, for example, on Borneo one weekend. I may as well. I mean, I'm getting paid fine. I can afford these little flights, island hoppers, take a weekend. So I went to see the bonobos, and, I mean, does anyone say it isn't amazing? Of course it's amazing. It was brilliant. What am I saying? Why did I... Sorry, I lost my train of thought completely. I do apologise there. It's quite hard to keep that going while multitasking. But you know what? Some people can multitask. Maybe I'm not one of them. Actually, I think I am one of them. Let me just have a sip of coffee. Got quite a dry mouth today. Where was I? So, I'm in Malaysia, so I go to Borneo and see the orangutans. That was a cool weekend. I would recommend, if you're able to do it, do it. It's not a zoo. It's a protected wildlife reserve. Well, I'm pretty sure like all the money goes to, what's it called? Is it Sepilok? Goes back into the coffers, if you will, goes back into helping protect their environment and provide money for them. Sepilok Orangutan Rehabilitation Centre. Yes, is in Sabah, Malaysia. It was established in 1964 as the first official orangutan rehabilitation project for rescued orphaned baby orangutans. Yeah, so it rescues these orphans because obviously their habitat is being destroyed. There's a wild amount of palm trees being planted in Malaysia and they just do clearance. They just clear vast swaths, or is it swathes? Swaths, swathes, swaths, I think I'm going to go with, of rainforest and just plant monocrop palm. So when you're buying palm oil, make sure it's ethically sourced, people. Look after the pennies and the pounds. That's not what this advice is. This advice is do the right thing, support ethically sourced palm oil, because it's no joke. If you look at pictures of like palm forests in Malaysia, you just see like a carpet of palm trees where they've just cleared. And then it's right next to rainforest with all its like wild differences and biodiversity. It's just so weird to see them side by side, like what humans have done and what nature does. I know there's movement to get it. There's people on the ground, there's activists, there's politicians, there's movements trying to make the general industry more sustainable, but there's also still practices within that industry that are not sustainable. So I hope that the good is winning that battle. I don't know enough about it, really. WeForum.org, how is Malaysia creating a sustainable palm oil industry? So that seems to suggest maybe it is. I don't know what WeForum.org is. The Guardian says Malaysian palm oil destroying forests, report warns. That was in 2011, though. So let's have a look at Wikipedia. By 24th... It's the world's second largest producer of palm oil after Indonesia, which is also doing a lot of clearance. How much? So percentage of the total land area in Malaysia has gone from, in 1975, palm trees were taking 1.9% of Malaysia, as in the plantation area of the square kilometres, or is it square million hectares of Malaysia. Palm plantation was 1.9% in 75, then 3.1 in 80. And it kind of steadily goes up. 2000, we're talking about 10%. 2012, 15%. But now, 2023, it's got to 25%. Is that right? Why has it only got it by to 2012? So they produce a brick ton of it, don't they? palm oil industry includes both child labour and forced labour practices. I mean, that is really bad. That was from 2014. Maybe they've improved since then. I always sort of hope for the best when I see this, but then the more you dig, a lot of the time you do find the worst. The problem is you have to dig to find it, and some people will just jump to the conclusion without digging. No, I think you have to dig. But then there's that do your own research thing where you go to imright.com. I mean, what was that We Forum? Maybe it was trustworthy. I just haven't heard of it. Should we see if weforum.org, what is their agenda? I mean, they've got a .org. Can anyone get .org? If I wanted a .org, could I have one? So World Economic Forum is the We Forum. Okay, so that's huge. And in 2022, they were saying Malaysia is creating a... I mean, the World Economic Forum have their own agenda, don't they? So, I don't know. All growers sustainable by 2025. 4.5 million employed. They admit to the mass deforestation. They admit to the labour abuses. So it's still going on. Well, I didn't contribute to the palm oil industry while I was there. I contributed to the orangutans. So that was one weekend. That was a great weekend. And based off the success of that weekend, I planned out two more weekends. So in the week, I'd sort of do little trips, go into town, do my hotel stuff, occasionally treat myself to a takeaway or some whiskey or, you know, whatever's fun. And then at the weekends, take a little trip. So I went to Borneo one weekend. What was the other one I went to the other weekend? There was another little place I went to. What was it? Was it another city? Blanking on it now, because the third one I went to was such a wild experience. So I went to an island, and for the life of me, I can't remember the name of it, but Malaysia has many islands, and it's right next to Indonesia, which has 18,000 islands. So it was one island that I chose because it was known for its scuba diving. And I am an open water paddy certified diver. So that's like level two, right? So I can do some shit down there. I'm not top of the tree, king of the roost, whatever you want to call it, but I know my shit. I can do it around. I've done quite a few of them, and I was like, that'll be a lot of fun because there's amazing reefs in Malaysia and so much to explore. Beautiful and warm and just a joy. So I went to this island and did scuba diving course, which I think I got a long weekend for this. I feel like it was 3 days. And the school was actually super fun. It was like a party school, and I was quite young, and I didn't know that at the time, but when I got there, I had a lot of fun. It was a really fun island, and the diving was brilliant. But unbeknownst to me, I don't know why it's unbeknownst to me, because if you look back at photos, it's clear, but unbeknownst to me, I've developed a growth on the side of my face, which is getting bigger and heavier right by my ear on the stubble there. And this lump just grows and grows over the weekend, and I just ignore it. I just ignored it. Looking back, it's so wild to say. I did. I just completely ignored it and just went on with my life, scuba diving at day, partying at night, having the time of my life. And actually thinking about it, the pressure of going scuba diving while this big thing is swelling on my face, it became the size of, like, I don't know, imagine four dice bunched together and glue that to your to the side of your face, the top of the jawbone, that area. It was that big, and it was hanging off. And like I said, the photos, you look back, you can trace the growth as it gets bigger and bigger, and it's on the side of my face. And what the fuck is it? And by the last night in the school, I was very aware of it because it started to hurt. And the way back was a boat and then a bus. And the bus ride, I think, was a night bus. I think it was quite far away, if memory serves, because on the bus journey home, I was in absolute agony. And this growth, I didn't know what it was on the side of my face. It's big, it's heavy. And now it's if I move my head around, it kind of like sloshes and hurts. And I'm starting to get really worried. And I tell the bus driver, and long story short, he dropped me directly into hospital and I go directly into surgery because I had an ingrown hair on the side of my face, which had gone septic and was at risk of poisoning my blood, which would kill me, 90% sure. So that was my other weekend in Malaysia. And as you can tell, that sort of spoiled the plan because I was then in the hospital for a few weeks. I couldn't take my boat trip, my victory boat trip that I'd won at the expats. Couldn't use it, too busy in hospital on a drip, surgery, and all the rest of it. That's how that trip kind of ended. I mean, I was in the hospital. I think I was in for 12 days, which when you think about it, it's not that long, but it's long enough. It's long enough that you really, really start to go stir crazy. I remember I watched a film. I wonder if I can find it. It had John Travolta. And was it Robert De Niro? And it was like The Hunter, or they're in like a hunting thing in a forest. Killing season. What is this? Should we watch the trailer? Killing season trailer. So it's an action thriller. It's got Robert De Niro and John Travolta. For their first time on screen. They're both rather old, and it's very by the numbers. Why am I telling you about this? Because this is the only TV we had. We had a shared TV, and it was playing like these films that you've never heard of, right? And that's where I watched. But it was all you had. I didn't, and at the beginning, I didn't have any of my stuff with me. I mean, I had a bag, but obviously, all my stuff was at the hotel. So at the beginning, I had nothing. I was waiting for the driver to bring some of my stuff, but it's difficult because I've got to give him the key. He's got to like know where stuff is, and I can't go anywhere. I'm on an IV. God, it was bad. Anyway, on the TV was this, it had this channel where it was just playing off-brand movies that you've never heard of. So this is Killing Season. Robert De Niro, John Travolta. John Travolta with a very fake-looking beard.
Where are you going?
And a poor Russian accent. Oh, my God, hold on. Let's hear John Travolta's accent.
Where are you going?
Hunting.
Hunting. I like hunting.
Hey, Dad.
And then there's Robert De Niro. I don't know. Do you want to watch it, guys?
We were hoping you'd come down.
Things just keep me a little busy up here.
I think we can all see where this is going. Hunting season. Let's hear more of John Travolta's accent, though.
You sure you're all right out here? Well, I'm going to head back. You're welcome to join me.
Long way from home, aren't you?
I came for trophy. You're a hunter like me. Tomorrow you should come with me. We had another hit to your collection.
And they're having Jaegers. They're having Jaegers for some soldiers. Why don't they do those voices anymore? On the VO. It used to always be so, war never ends.
Hello? Go back. What the hell was that?
It looks like we are not brothers in arms after all, Colonel Ford.
What do you want from me?
To finish what we started.
John Travolta with a bow is hunting old man De Niro. Right.
You're not Bosnian.
I'm a genius. Okay, yeah, and he's got a scorpion tattoo and, you know, all of that. I mean, what's going to happen? He's going to win, isn't he? I mean, it's Hollywood D-list level stuff. I mean, I don't know what kind of money it made at the box office. I don't know if was it even released? Was it even released at the 10% on Rotten Tomatoes, mate? Box office, 1.1 million. Yeah, okay. So I don't think anyone really watched it. Small screen item. Badly written, ineptly staged, horribly acted, historically suspect, boring beyond belief, said Peter Sobchinski of RogerEbert.com, which is pretty fucking harsh. Yeah. What do you say, eh? What do you say? I was in the hospital for 2 weeks.
To those who DJ AF about DIY, consider your mind about to be changed by the ice cubic foot measuring tape.
It's absolute madness.
And now on BBC One, as part of whatever Shakespeare anniversary has come around now, it's Extreme Measures for Extreme Measures, an adaptation by Trevor Reeve, starring Trevor Reeve.
That's got to stop. It's got to stop. We've got to stop, Luke. We must. There can't be any more Trevor Reeve, my darling. Okay? Apart from, obviously, the last one, which is just catching Extreme Measures with Trevor Reeve. It's on Friday, 9, BBC One. Yeah. Why the fuck is it showing in Malaysian currency? Because that's where you are headed, buddy. Yeah. Woo! Yeah, so that was the bummer end to my Malaysia adventure. But you know what? It was so much fun. Even with all of that sort of hanging over me, I actually still had the best time. So, suck on that. What shall we do next? Well, we've been babbling for 40 minutes. I mean, who am I talking to when I say we? Shall I see if Caitlin wants to come on the podcast? Do you want to come on? See, I don't know. If not, then we can wrap it up. But maybe she's got some hot takes that she wants to share. I don't know. She's finished work, so that's an option. Okay, we're recording.
Oh, wow, okay.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello, Caitlin. I traveled a really long way to get here.
You did?
Yeah.
I'll reimburse you. Okay. Expenses are covered.
Every step.
Yeah, okay. How many steps was it? Okay, well, hold on, let me just...
This has been redacted.
That's coming to you. That's heading your way. What's up? How are you? Good?
I'm having a good day, you know.
Really?
Really? Yeah, outside of my itch hand.
You still got the itch hand. So you were cutting okra. Was it okra?
Okay, here's the thing, though. Like, at this point, I'm allergic to everything. Like, we can't figure out why. So, dear listener, I keep getting these crazy, like, histamine reactions.
Yeah.
Where the NHS is like, just take a lot of this antihistamine. And it started during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And they thought it was COVID.
Yeah.
And they never were able to prove that it was COVID.
No.
But this was like before we had lots of tests.
But that's when you had COVID rash.
Yeah, that's what they thought it was. But yeah. And then like fast forward, I've also had COVID and gotten a rash again.
Yeah.
I don't think I have COVID now, but no. Either way, ever since that happened,
yeah,
I am prone to having histamine. A skin reaction through histamine. And I was choping okra and me little finger started itching on both sides. So, you know.
Yeah.
There is that.
It's still itchy.
No, but you can see it a bit.
The hive.
Yeah. Either way, I'm making a delicious Indian feast. We've been having a really nice, healthy...
Culinary journey. I agree.
That okra is getting cooked, whether it likes me or not.
Crispy.
Yeah, it's going to be crispy okra.
Yeah.
And then we're doing like a salmon jalfrezi because we had salmon. This is how this all started, because we were like, can you put salmon in a curry? We will soon find out.
Yeah. How's it looking? Have you marinated it?
I've marinated it, but dry marinade, so it's like a dry rub.
You didn't use the jar marinade?
Oh, I should have. It went into the sauce, the jar marinade.
The jar went into the sauce? Okay.
Yeah. We had a jar that he bought, which, you know, we both really don't like using, but we use
it. But it was on discount, so
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, we may as well, otherwise.
What do you all
good
think?
Value for money.
Do you make things from scratch, or are you a schlub?
Caitlin, remember when I made the full spice mix from hand, you know, with the mortar and pestle?
He did that meat for me once for a green curry, for a Thai green curry.
Yeah.
And it took him ages.
That's the thing. It takes ages. It's really nice, but it does take ages. You don't always have that ages to take.
I also, like, am very glad we're past the pestle and mortar.
What do you mean, past it?
Well, I can do it really well, so I'm really glad that there are tools.
Do you remember Bumbu Bali?
Yeah, Bumbu Bali. When we went to Indonesia, we went to an amazing cooking school at Pemulin, it's in Ubud.
And yeah, north of
Ubud. I think it's Pemulin Farm.
Right.
And
shout out.
Yeah, shout out amazing to Maddie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maddie Murtha and a bunch of friends that we made there. But basically, the staple for all Indonesian cuisine is this thing called Bumbu Bali.
Yeah, which is like ginger, garlic, lemongrass, chili, etc.
It's gorgeous.
It's beautiful, but in order to make it, there's shallots in there as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
Lime, all kinds of delicious things. Tamasi, of course. But the mortar and pestle part, it was like we had to do shifts. It was so much hard work.
Tamasi is like a shrimp stock, like a very, very, very intense shrimp stock for those listening in. It took ages, and it got to the point where the people who worked there were like, move over, we'll do it. And it's like, well, they should just have it like made ahead of time, really. Because it's funny because they're also really like snobby about it. They're like, you must make it.
That's right.
And you're like, but I would prefer to buy it.
And he was like, you can use a blender.
But don't do that. Do it by hand. I'm like, I don't have the time in the day. I don't have the hours. Oh, here's a funny thing. So, anyway. I'm making that right now, and that's why he's paying me for my time, because I came up here to do
this. Right. Get down to the kitchen. What are you doing up here?
But last night, it was kind of hilarious and also felt really bad. You know when you're like, you're not meant to be laughing because it's not funny, but it's hilarious.
What?
You know this already. He's going to think it's not funny, but
I couldn't
fully like sleep, and he was fully asleep, and Rob suffers from insomnia, so like him being asleep is a big deal.
It's good, yeah. It's
and
good.
I'm like facing him. When normally I don't face him, especially right now because I pierced my ear again, and it's like
you have to lie on that other side. But it's like 2:30 a.m.
Oh no,
like
but
that.
I was like being stubborn about the fact that even though I don't sleep on that side, I wanted to be on that side.
Right.
Suddenly, so I'm on that side and I can't sleep because my ear hurts because I'm lying on the wrong side, and then I'm looking at Instagram and I see a meme that you sent me just like an hour or so before when you went to the bathroom.
Is it good?
And it was a husky.
Yeah, go on.
Well, I can't even really tell you because I went to like it. It was like a husky standing up straight or something like that.
Yeah.
And I double clicked it to like it and it started it. So at like 3 a.m, this like stupid, annoying meme music played. And when I say that his entire body shook as if he got like struck by lightning.
I was terrified.
He was terrified. He woke up like that. And literally, I had to be like, it's okay, it's okay, it's fine. Because I was sticking a stupid husky meme inside his ear. So,
you scared the fuck out of me.
I did scare
Caitlin.
The fuck out of you.
Sorry to swear right in your face like that, but honestly.
But this is really nice because we could go fuck, fuck, fuckity, fuck, fuck. Because we are on a podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
And not the
We've
radio.
Got the freedom. Yeah, that's true. That's true. How do I log in? It doesn't seem to remember.
Remember me?
Do you remember me? It's got some like incorrect info somehow.
Well, I ain't giving you mine, so.
I think I've already got yours.
You could have mine. I don't care, but it's just because I actually don't really know. And
yours
I got
isn't working.
I got logged out of Instagram, and when I got logged out of Instagram,
everything changed.
Everything changed in my life, so I don't fuck with it.
Let's see what Luke sent. He sent a 35-second audio. Let's hear.
I say, old boy, I'm picking up some rather interesting measurements on the equipment.
He's been an idiot.
I go so far as to say that we're extreme. And what's this? By golly. Well, it says the measurements, the extreme ones, they're...
He's absolutely not allowed to do that. We've been playing a game.
Trevor
Reeve. Such an idiot. It's this script. Okay, so it's going to be you to record the script next, okay?
Okay.
If you're ready.
Yeah.
It's for like a TV show.
Yeah.
Okay? You're the announcer, the voiceover.
Yeah.
And you're watching TV, there's a break, and it's a little trailer for this, and then you say this at the end, as in, you know, tune in for this kind of thing. You got it?
Yeah.
Do you want to practice?
No.
You're just going to go straight in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ready? 3, 2, go. Whoops. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
All right.
Okay, cut. You don't have forever. You're not a DJ. You went into DJ mode. It's just announcer. You're just the announcer.
All right, Extreme Measures with Trevor Eve, Friday at 9 on the BBC One.
Not bad.
Tune in.
Do you think you could do better?
Yeah.
Come on, let's give it one. Give it some welly. That was good, but better.
Tune in for Extreme Measures with Trevor Eve, Friday at 9 on BBC One.
Yeah, that was good. I like that. I'm going to send that. You can have that. Good work. Good work. What were we talking about before? The husky. So I sent you a meme of a husky.
And this was the music that played. And I was like frantic.
I absolutely crapped myself. But then again, look at how the dog reacts to the durian.
The dog smells durian that someone's cutting up, and obviously durian is famously stinky.
And he literally rears back onto both feet and walks back.
And like covers his face with his paws.
It's amazing, but not at 2:30 a.m.
Not at 2:30 a.m. Wait, by the way, my phone's right by his ear.
For some reason, I was having a nightmare about a dog. That kind of made it, and it made it feel real, hearing a sound, even though that wasn't a dog sound. It's really weird.
So,
it was absolutely terrifying, but you calmed me down.
Yeah. I had a right of care because I caused it.
This happened to me before waking up to a dog nightmare. I don't know why. I've got a recurring nightmare of a dog biting my hand. I've woken up before being like,
No, I wonder if we could see the dream symbolism of that.
Dream symbolism? Yeah. Caitlin, you're a genius.
Mm.
Dream. It's symbolism.
It's symbolism.
Dog biting hand. How about? Okay.
Yeah, there'll be something.
All right, let's have a look.
There's always someone out there trying to.
Dog bite dream meaning interpretation. So we've got alicafournet.com, dreamingandsleeping.com, liquidsandsolids.com. what do we like? Spirit like animal dreams? You like liquids and solids?
No, spirit animal dreams. Let's be real.
Okay. So dog bite meaning. Are you interested in dog bite meaning? This guide is for you. Did you recently dream of dog bites? This is a powerful message concerning your life.
Tune in at BBC.
Extreme Measures with Trevor Eve, Friday at 9, BBC One. Okay, so Caitlin, tell people what it means.
Dreaming of being bitten by a dog asks you to focus on certain aspects of your life. You must pay closest attention to the dream's details to fully understand its meaning. Consider the part of the body that got bitten.
Hand.
Where were you? What were you doing? How did the dog behave?
Can't remember. It bit me.
Okay. All these are important considerations, blah, 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 blah. Dreaming of dog bites has a lot of significance in your life. The meanings of this dream are varied. It depends on your interactions, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Where does it actually say?
What kind of dog is it?
It's not friendly. It's like a,
okay.
Scary dog.
Keep going. It's all spam. Okay.
Trouble in your relationship?
Uh-oh. It seems that things on the home front are not as rosy as you'd like them to be.
No, it's not that. I've had this over time in various different things. It's not your face. It's the hand. It's specifically the hand.
Okay, wait, arm.
Arm? Should we try arm? Or here we go, hand.
The dog bites your right hand.
Yes.
It means the loss of your masculine
strength.
And in case you've lost over your environment. You no longer seem to run the show. Now.
I literally don't. Look at it.
Yeah.
The show's going on. You're running it. I'm crying under the table.
No, did it bite your right hand? Because if it bite your left hand, it's a sign that your feminine strength is threatened. It indicates you have no control over what's happening in your life. Dreaming of a dog biting your hand asks you to take charge of your life. Don't be the subject to the whims of circumstances in your environment. With the right effort, you will retake control.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. We're recording a podcast, aren't we?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Stupid dog. It's quite a scary way to wake up. But then I went back to sleep.
And then I woke him up with a dog. I am a horrible partner.
What is the dog thing? Why? I love dogs, though.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, 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 no. No, no. Oh, Luke's responded. Let's see what he's got.
All right, man. This is Sirius XM After Dark, bringing you now some truly criminal true crime. This is Extreme Measures with Trevor Eve.
Silly boy.
That was a bit radio DJ.
It was. That was definitely, I think he even said XM. That's a radio station.
All right, man. This is Sirius XM After
Dark. Yeah, that's the cable.
Yeah.
Also, we've also got a message in from Lego Tank Zero.
Okay.
I am in possession of a dual set of mobile devices, where in one is exclusive. What is that? in one is exclusively allocated for the procurement of contraband substances.
Oh.
While the other is dedicated to the meticulous management of peculiar transactions.
Mm.
What is this? Moreover, I possess an additional pair of mobile devices. Okay, he's got four. Why does that change? With one specifically designated for engaging communication with the female gender.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. The other remains steadfastly committed to the aforementioned transactions. What the effing F is he effing going on about?
Oh, are we live?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why you have this little camera.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Hello.
I just said you what? I mean, it's he's absent. Is do you think it's AI?
Has sale?
No. Is sale?
Is sale.
Yeah, exactly. Or not. Absolutely. So let's finish on that, on the or not bit.
Oh my goodness. Okay. There's a thing where, like, oh, I don't even know how to get into it.
What do you mean?
You can't say exclusively or not.
Who was the person that said it first?
We were talking about, it was some kind of new form of identifying oneself, a new it's not gender, but like a type of...
Oh, that's right. These were the pronouns.
But they were like...
No, they weren't the pronouns. They're not. It was like the different...
It was ways of labeling and identifying yourself. Ways of
identifying your sexuality. Yeah.
But then someone wrote for one of these, and it was something that was created on Tumblr that I don't think has really taken flight. And I forget what it was, but what it was, the definition said, exclusively this... And then parentheses, or not.
Yeah, and then it was their preference.
It doesn't even matter what they said and what the context of it is. What does matter is that you cannot say exclusively or not. It invalidates each other in terms of grammar.
It's a paradox,
It's a paradox.
It's either exclusively.
Or not.
Or it's not. It can't be both.
It cannot
together.
Be both. You cannot satiate both sides of that. So it's just more... So now I have Rob in my phone as Robert or not. And we say a lot of things like, I'm going to go make dinner or not.
Yeah, exactly. Because everything, now it just encompasses the whole thing.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't.
I had a good day or not.
Or not.
Yeah, so it's just funny. You know, identify however you want to, but, you know,
it's not really about that, it's such extremes.
Like, it's
but
not,
it's just, there's just, you know, it's a category error. Darling.
It's just grammar. It's just grammar. But yeah, that was that. But with that being said, I'm going to go make dinner. Or not.
Thanks for coming on the show.
No, thanks for having me.
Oh, always Goodbye. A pleasure. Well, there we go. That's the show. Thanks for tuning in. So lovely to have you. Just a couple of words of goodbye from Luke.
Also, you've got to up your notes game, Rob. Good but better. Caitlin can't work with that. What would Paul Goodwin say?
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Anyway, I hope you've had a good time. Thanks for joining me on the show. Love you very much. See you next time. Goodbye. Thanks for listening to the show. If you've enjoyed it, please give us 5 stars and consider becoming a subscriber and maybe even supporting us on Patreon. Really, really, really helps me continue making this show. If you haven't enjoyed it, then you can fuck off. Many, many thanks to Nils Hennis-Steer for the amazing music and to Dave Fox for the cool artwork. Please keep coming back every week for more Bliss of the Abyss. One.